Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
All righty, guys. Welcome to another Den After Dark right here on Twitter Spaces. Orlando City ties 1-1 up in D.C. Oh, goodness. What a horrible game to watch. No offense, man. I'm going to be honest with you. There's no fucking offense for Orlando City. Facundo Torres. Dude, this guy, I mean, I don't even think the Orlando Pirates in the South African League would want him. I mean, he's looking really, really not into it. A lot of people are probably going to disagree with me. I just don't think he's looking good. That midfield looks like crap, to be honest with you. We have nothing whatsoever up front. Duncan basically scored a goal, put us up 1-0. And I'm going to be honest with you. If it ain't for fucking Pedro Galese, fucking Orlando City would be fucking with only probably 1 point at all this year, or zero. This guy's been saving our ass, and thank God we signed him. I don't know what's going on with the midfield. I don't know what the hell's going on with the up front. I mean, Cara, it's not working for Cara. Ramiro Henrique, it didn't kind of work with him against Tigres. Duncan, yeah, he got a goal, but that's a lucky goal. He was just at the right place at the right time, I guess, and hit it in. He was 2 inches away from probably being offsides if that defender was a little bit back more. We're not looking good. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Orlando's looking good. Mike, what are your thoughts on this, man?
First, I'm going to tell you to calm your tits a little bit, all right? I understand 100% our offense looks like ass, but to blame just Faku and say that, like, South Africa wouldn't even want him, calm down. I'm going to say calm down. It's not that bad. I think we will figure stuff out. It's just I don't know how long it's going to take at this point. I'm getting frustrated with you watching it, 100%. I'm getting frustrated we haven't gotten there yet. Frustrated we haven't figured it out. It's nice to get a goal from the run of play today. That's a positive, and I have no problem taking that positive back. But, again, we rotated 6 or 7 bodies out of the squad today, something like that, 5 or 6 bodies out of the squad. We just don't have cohesion. And we're not going to get cohesion until we start putting out a consistent starting lineup. And when we have fixture congestion to start the season for a tournament that's incredibly important for us, it's going to be a pain in the ass, and that just fucking sucks. But to say Faku should be on his way out, or not even on his way out, but to say that another team wouldn't even want him, that's just you're going too far. But outside of that, I do agree.
So tell me, what do you think? You actually think he played well today?
I didn't say that he played well. Okay,
so I'm saying, did he play well in the last game?
You're saying that where everybody's you're saying that a team so far down below us in the South African Orlando Pirates wouldn't even want a player of his quality. I agree that he was not great today. That's why he was yanked at halftime. But to say that, are you going to say that about all the other players that weren't great today too?
Like, I'll say it about all. To me, it doesn't make a difference. What I'm getting at is, I'm not saying, you know, that Orlando Pirates of South Africa, it's not what everybody expected. Everybody expected this guy to come in, score goals left and right. Everybody was talking about this last year. Oh, this guy's great. This guy, if he was this good, he would be right now in Europe playing. Eddie, what are your thoughts?
I mean, he had 20. But sorry, Eddie, don't mean to cut you off. He had 25 combined goals and assists last year, which is the most that we've ever had in our team. So that's great. But you got to remember, Poppy's still the coach, and I feel like that's probably what Eddie's about to say.
Look, with this, I told you guys and everyone in the podcast, we're 40 goals and over or under and a million goals. Until Oscar's teams can show they can score goals, you don't expect goals. There's going to be – that's just the way it works. We play this kind of suffer ball, remember to Adamo. We're pinning back. And you saw today, once I know Mauricio, they got a rope tape. But once we put Caesar in, we parked the bus even more. And we're just going to get pelted, and Pedro's going to bail us out. So that's just the way we're going to play. It's just we got attackers, and people thought we're going to score a bunch of goals. And then there's a mythology. It's a mythology. It has to be said about MLS's back, that we can play this silky ball. Look at the goals and MLS's back. A lot of them were Nani doing Nani stuff. Not the system. It was Nani making the goal against Minnesota, cutting in banger. We won in penalties. We won in like 10 minutes of extra time against Miami or whatever. This wasn't like we were cutting people up and scoring a bunch of goals. This never, ever happened. Having these better attackers is going to allow us to hopefully be more clinical with the few chances this system is going to allow. And that's just something we have to face the fact. Once you lower your expectations to what's been the history of Oscar Bayeja's teams, you're going to accept it a little more, because we're going to be tough to beat. We're going to make the playoffs, and we're not going to score a lot of goals. And with Facu, and then right now playing this 3-4-2-1, with Facu that high, Facu works best with overlapping fullback, with people to combine close. There's nobody there. People think because you're South American and you could score, you're going to dribble like 10 people. Because Miguel Amaran did it, you're going to dribble down and just score in everyone's face. That's not ever the way he's played. That's not the way he's going to play. That's not his skill set. His skill set is to be a smart player and combine. When there's nobody around, and you're getting few touches, and 1 second you're in your own box clearing a ball out, and then the next you're playing the ball, and there's two people around you, there's nobody within 15 yards of you, then of course you're not going to look great. Did he have some bad touches and bad sequences? Sure. But guys like Facu need reps. They need the ball. They're guys who, like Steph Curry, who shoot, who get touches and they get better with it. So I'm not gonna judge them off of that. And this dunk and goal thing, we got 1.6 or XG. I don't know where that came from. I didn't see that. But the dunk and goal, this is the Larin thing again. The nonsense the fan base says that, oh, he was just at the right spot at the right time. But when Larin left, no one was at the right spot at the right time. That means it was some skill to it. He was at the far post. He was at the near post. Someone's at the far post. That's Ella. Just because it's rudimentary, basic soccer doesn't mean it's lucky. And he bodied and got himself in a good position. If it's so lucky, does anyone here think God would have scored that? Probably not, right? So I think that was, yes, was he close to being outside? But he was in the near post where you're supposed to be in that situation. So you got to give him credit for that. So no, I just think with this rotation and different lineups, until we get space, until we get the consistent lineup, we're not gonna see that much fluidity. And even then, I don't think this fluidity people are imagining is going to happen, because it's just not his place. It's not. We need to accept that. The sooner we accept that, the better.
All right, let's go on to the legendary David Valentin. David.
No, I think you're 100% right, Eddie. You know, that's really what it kind of comes down to, is there's just no cohesion. Until we start having a cohesive lineup that's out there consistently, we're going to continue to struggle, you know, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to start having that same lineup out there week in and week out. But until that happens, I don't know when we're going to start seeing the floodgates open and us start scoring goals. Cause I know I disagreed with you on the pod. I was super, super high on us being a productive team because we said, hey, Poppy, here's all the pieces that you need for this team to score goals. Right now, we're four games in, and we have one goal from the run of play. So, when is it going to fully happen?
Yeah, and it wasn't a pretty goal.
And it was one, you're right, man.
It was one questionable PK.
It was
and it hit off of Duncan's like love handles.
The goal today was absolutely was ugly as shit. But it's a Poppy goal, and that's the thing, is he was in the right place at the right time, and he deserves credit for his positioning. And that's one of the things that I know Cleon and I said during preseason, is he's a guy who puts himself in advantageous positions to score. Yes,
exactly. That's how he did. That's how he did that in college. And you can say, oh, that's easy. He was in the right place. But then it's got him in that place. Why in a year and a half or whatever, nothing ricochets off of him in the goal?
Yeah.
It's not that. It's a different. He's not the guy who's going to get to the near post. Wando said it. Wando's like a PE teacher out there, man. He scored a million goals. And he said, I just beat people to the post, to the nearest post. I beat them to it. that's what Duncan does. He got a little more hunger in the box, and it made the difference today. If Duncan don't play, then that's not a goal, in my opinion. Maybe if Ramiro could do it, I think Ramiro should be the starter, but going forward. But this is two DMPs for Cotto. Whatever reason it is, I don't know. But I think there's something to be said about being at the post at a certain given time. Yes, that's rudimentary, but we're not getting rudimentary play from people. You know how many times, even Huron's crosses, people are like, they're better today. Yeah, he's never going to cross the ball well. But have you seen Cotto get up on anybody's crosses? Was Giles' delivery bad? No. Kyle Smith put in a good ball, puts in good crosses. Does he get on any of them? No. Some of Ruan's crosses look worse because Cotto just is not good in the air. So some of this rudimentary stuff that we're expecting from strikers, he plays differently. And then that's the quandary we have as a club. Do we risk our system, which is very, very runs on thin margins, barely scores goals? Do we try to adjust to fit one person, or do we open things up? I don't know. That's the quandary that they're paying Oscar to figure out, I guess.
All right, let's go. Let's go to David.
No, David. Very much so. JJ, I don't know if you're trying to talk or not, but we're not hearing you right now. So I'll kind of just jump in at the moment.
Mike, I'm hearing him. I think it's on your end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
David's going to speak. Go ahead, David.
Gotcha.
David.
Yeah, go ahead, David. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right, guys. So I am as frustrated as everybody because the Pappy special is unsustainable. And we saw that today where we are basically dancing on a knife's edge. We dominate most of the game. We're up a goal and we concede. And if it wasn't for VAR, maybe this ends 2-1. So the problem that I have with this situation is that offensively, we look all over the place. It's like you put a bunch of musicians in a room, and there's nobody to conduct them into basically play the same tune. Last, the goal for Duncan, I disagree with some of the assessment. I think it took a lot of football IQ from the young man to understand, hey, I need to put myself in a dangerous area. Also, Thorhalsen, with the corner of his eye, sees that he's moving forward and puts the ball on the far post, and we got a goal. And that's something that Cara doesn't do. He sometimes gives up on the play and, like, throws his hands up in the air, and we got nothing. At the end of the day, the tournament, the CCL, it's not a game. It's not a tournament of points. It's a tournament of scoring goals. And if you guys have seen the thin margin that we have to go to the second round, which is basically either end 0-0 and pray to the soccer gods that once again we win a penalty shootout, or we win by one goal, and that basically means that if this was Wednesday, we were out of the tournament. So. To conclude, the main problem that we're having is we're not scoring goals. And, you know, I like Oscar. I think he's a nice fella. And I think that he's been given a lot of talent. But the fan base is running thin on patience. Seeing all this attacking power that was purchased by the billionaire ownership. And we continue to have this is boring football. People are going to get sick and tired of it. And I'm afraid that we may not be successful this year. Although I have to say that the fact that 9 teams make the playoffs this year means that we can be mediocre as always and end up with a home game.
All right, thank you very much, David. Let's go on to the next one. I'm going to go with Tyler. Tyler, go ahead. Go ahead, Tyler.
So, I mean, I'm not too concerned with it. I was hoping we'd see a rotation anyways in preparation for Wednesday. So I expected at best we get out of here with a point. Obviously, 3 would have been a steal, in my opinion, especially the way we played. I do agree with some of the concerns about the offense, but I'm a little bit more patient in waiting to see when we put our strongest 11 out there and really see if they get a few matches underneath their belt, if they can gel and actually put up more than one goal. I think Poppy's history plays into it, and obviously he is in a two-goal kind of manager. So we'll see how that plays out. But for the most part, I'm okay with the 1 point. Really looking forward to Wednesday, though. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Man. Thank you, Tyler. Always great to hear from you.
Real quick, I want to say 1 point, we should be grateful because Yeah, that was a great save by Bedron Benteke, but bro, he needs to make that. If God, I would have missed that, we would have been on him on this spaces, because when you're that open, you got the whole side. Great save, but that was a brick. So hey, we, you know, one point isn't a bad Pedro. Result considering how we played.
It's Pedro.
No, Benteke, bro, put it into the corner of the net, and no goalie's getting that from 6 feet. You know.
All right, let me just go over some of the. People, what they're talking about right now on Twitter. We have Freddie Blankenship. Faku has a heavy touches and horrible passes. Misael Rosa at One Miso says, got lucky. Maguire was in the right place, right time. Tyler basically says, I mean, it's a point. James Matthew, Galice bails them out again. Offensive aggressiveness and creativity non-existent. And then Lewis at Moves. Post puts we blow. Cleon.
Hey man. Hey, I got on here late. But I can't have y'all on here. I can't have y'all on here downplaying my boy's skill now. That thing did not go off his love handles. I know y'all probably missed it. He put that in off his foot with that little quick little knock in, bro. That was it's not like one person. I saw one person tweet like he was just standing around at the damn back post and not playing a game. Like, which is freaking ridiculous. First off, he was there for a header. Just, I don't know who crossed it. Somebody, I don't know if it was Smith or somebody.
It was Smith.
Put the cross way too high. He would have had the goal on the damn off the run for the cross. Now, like what JJ's saying, normally, if our normal striker, number 9, would have been there for that cross, if he would have even attempted to leave the ground for that header, once it was too high, he would have threw his hands up and just moped off. But homeboy, he gets to where he's supposed to be, gets in position to get that ball and put it in, and that's what he does. And the thing is, this game right here, even before that goal, this is what I was talking about before. The main issue I've had with Carl. Is the dude just does not fight, bro. Like, if you take away that goal today, it was still night and day. Because you see him getting to balls and fighting to bring balls down in hold up play and everything else. Headers, hold up play, everything. A lot of little lead passes off headers. Like, we haven't been getting that. We haven't been getting that. And it's just... It's frustrating. It's frustrating because, I mean, you're too big. You're too big to be that soft, bro. You're just too big. So that's all this for me. As far as the point, like if you told me before the game we're going to get a point, I'd say fine. But, like, once I feel it's different for me once the game plays out and you got the 3 in your hand. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I feel like he pulled the cord on going, okay, now we got the lead. Now we're just going to bunker for the rest of the game. It was way too early again for me where we started doing that. And we were literally just under siege for like, from what, the not even 70? What, I don't even know what minute that was, bro. It was like the 60th or something, 65th on where we started subbing. And it was just a wrap. I agree with Faku. His timing is off, but I mean, we all know what he can do. Like his touch has been heavy and his passes have been a little off. Like his timings, I don't know what's up, but, I mean, we know what he could do. So he just needs to play through it. And that's all it really is, man. Gaston, I guess he's been off for a year. So he's looking a little rough for me right now too.
All righty. Thank you, Cleon. Let's go to Eric. Eric.
Yeah, hey guys. And first, let me say thanks for doing these spaces. It's really cool to do. And it was a ton of fun to hear the Tigres guys come on Tuesday night and talk about their team. But for tonight, listen, I want to start by saying Poppy's taken us to new places, right? He's really been a great thing for the team. And I'm not a Poppy out guy. But with, you know, Tyler's comments on, you know, I'll give it some time and maybe the offense will gel recently. I think, and I tweeted again, this is not a 3 or 4 game problem with the offense. This is like a 35 game problem with the offense stemming from last year. It's just new players that are in the system and better players that are in the system. So, you know, we have so much firepower on this team now offensively with the money that's been spent. To score one goal in open play in four matches is not a promising thing to see after last year. So, you know, I'm still optimistic about the team, but I'm afraid, I'll say, and listen, I'm not poppy out, I'm not down on this team at all, but I'm afraid that the same problems that plagued us last year, even with all of our additions off the firepower, are going to plague us still. And, you know, David was talking about it. It's like, this is a second or third place team talent that is probably going to be a sixth or seventh place team with the way that we're playing, because you just can't run these margins of 1-0, 0-0 and expect to come out clean every time, especially with Pedro playing the way he is right now. So I'm nervous, guys, and I'm optimistic for Tigres. I'm optimistic for the team. I thought Dagger Dan was fantastic having this depth. So hopefully we gel, but you know, I am a little bit worried, but I'm still hopeful and optimistic on the team.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Eric. So my question to everybody on here is, because Eric was mentioning it, the way that the style we play. And this is for you, Eddie and Cleon and everybody. So when we're making a run, there was we're going to counterattack, basically. And we had players running. Next thing you know, our players decide to – the one, I think it was – who was it? Somebody holds the ball back and goes, okay, I'm going to kick it back. You know, why is it that we cannot go forward and play? And then there was other plays that they were just off. They're passing the ball. The player is going the wrong way. Facundo looked like he was frustrated with some of the passing and everything. So, I mean, what is it? What's the problem? Are we just going, and these poppy specials are just, hey, let's hold the bus down. It's starting to look like Mourinho over here. Corey, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thankful for the point. And I am certainly not panicking, certainly not I'm not, you know, willing to give up on anybody or anything like that. Certainly not, you know, in a dark place or anything like that. But if performances tonight, I've heard a lot of, you know, well, this is how it is. This is who we are. This is the style. That should frustrate you. We've been fighting for seventh and eighth spots in the playoffs, and that's not who we should be anymore. If things like this are okay for you as a fan, it doesn't mean that you're going to go, you know, start a Twitter mob and things like that. But tonight, this game for me was winnable. And I feel like our offense is, one, non-existent. Two, I think in terms of style, I think they feel like they're in between styles. They're not quite sure what there is. And I certainly understand that some of this is due to having to rotate so heavily for the first few games. But guys, we can't be okay with scoring one goal a game every two or three games. We've got to do better. And I know that we all know that, but we should be demanding more. And as a team, they should be performing better, because we're not going to be winning championships by playing the way we're playing on a daily basis.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you for those thoughts. Lewis.
Dear, dear.
Lewis, go ahead.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing well. I think if you would have told me before the game, I know a couple of people said it, that before the game, if you would have told me we got a point away draw is always good. But this game just left a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, I know DC is our bogey team. They have been for a while. But I think I'm just tired of playing DC personally, but I think, we just got to connect. I've seen this season way too many midfield to attack transitions that just haven't clicked. And I don't know if that's a comes down to a managerial thing or comes down to a just having to gel thing. But we're not going to have a lot of time to gel. We have such a busy schedule that it's going to be hard to have a full 11 every game that's going to play every game. Rotation is going to come, and these guys have to connect at some point to go attacking and defending-wise, because we didn't defend great today. I mean, we didn't defend bad, but Galese has been, you know, he's been exceptional for all four games this season, and that's not good, you know? You're not wanting to talk about how great your goalkeeper's been. You want to talk about how great your defense has been to protect your goalkeeper. I think it's – we just have to gel, and we have to find a way for everybody that, you know, comes in and subs in that everybody has to gel. We all have to get together. And whether that comes down to Poppy or that comes down to just the players in general, I think we have such a disconnect at the moment.
Yeah, thank you, Lewis, for your thoughts on the game. Let's go to the Twitter board here to see what people are saying. Jimmy D, at Jimmy underscore SLC, I'm sorry, says, I'm afraid we don't have a gear outside of Poppy Ball. Away goal is going to wreck us. What if we have to score two goals on Wednesday? What's going to happen? I agree with you there. Then we have, let's see here. James Matthew was responding to at one Miso. He goes, or shooting from 35 yards away. Lizzie says Torres was either tired or just did not want to be on the field. His play today was not good. DDT was my man of the match. Felt he played a good game. So that's Thor is DDT. So guys, I don't know, man. We need a, like David said, 1-1 against Tigres, we're out. You know, we need to win and or have a 0-0 draw. That's the only thing that we can do. Let's go to, who is it here? Shy City Lewis, 187. Go ahead. Just take yourself off speaking. Or mute, actually.
Yes, hello.
Hey. Go ahead. Hey,
so I just want to put in my two cents that, you know, this team is, like, kind of frustrating because we have so much potential being on the offense, you know? Like, Martin Ojeda is pretty much the only one that is shooting outside of the box. Facundo Torres, he does look kind of tired today, in my opinion. But, honestly, we can't keep playing just defense, like, it's like we are a wannabe Barcelona. We try to start all the way from the back, play defense, play mid, and then we move forward, and then we play it back, and then it's a cycle. Like, it's very frustrating. Like, we got to start playing, like, I know Real Madrid is not nowhere near close to, like, Orlando City, but we need to start playing like Real Madrid. Move forward, counterattack quick, and just shoot. Stop passing it back. We're not going to score just by passing it back. And then next, you know, we lose the ball midfield and we keep losing possession, you know? And what I also don't understand is the fact that why are we keep on rotating the lineups? We're in the CONCACAF Champions League for a reason. So you're telling me that everybody that's in the UEFA Champions League or the Europa League, they don't switch up their lineups? No, they don't. They keep the same lineups. For example, Liverpool played their same lineup against Manchester United, who they beat 7-0, but yet now they're going to play against Real Madrid again with the same lineup. So it's like we need to keep our A team. Stop using our B team. We need to start winning. We need to do better. We can be at least a second place team and make it to the Eastern Conference. But with Oscar being our management, with his defensive mind, is not going to go anywhere. We need a management that knows how to counterattack and knows that we need to shoot. And that's my two cents.
All right, man. I appreciate your two cents. Good point there on the lineup changes. People are going to argue about that lineup change that you're talking about. I'm a big European fan also. Hey, the lineups always stay the same, you know, in Europe. You play your Champions League. The only time that you bring it and you change rotation is during the like the U.S. Open Cup to in EPL or in Portuguese or Spanish League, Copa del Rey or whatever, that's when you kind of change when you play those third division teams. But when it comes to Champions League and it comes to league, those majority of the time stay the same and everything. So I kind of agree with you on that. You know, the lineup needs to stay the same. You put your best lineup in your league play and you put your best lineup in your Champions League. So what happens now? Yeah, you rest. You lost points. Points because your top team was not playing because you were resting them or you took them off too early. And now you go to the Champions League and say you get knocked out. Well, guess what? Now you lost points in the league and you're out of the Champions League. Now you're going to have to try to get those points back in the league. Then you got U.S. Open Cup. Now you could play your B team against, you know, a USL team or whatever it is. So I agree with you on, you know, rotating. There's times to rotate and there's times not to rotate. Champions League is not the time to playing in league. You got to get your points as much as you can or you're going to be struggling. Eddie, I see there you go. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I think that we also have to take into account that the traveling is much more here. In Europe, you're going like across the street. Like in London, you could play, you know, of your 30 plus games, you could play 20 of them within, you know, the same city. So it's not, you know, England's the size of Oregon or something like that. So it's not like even.
No, I agree with you on that. I'm not saying that, but I mean,
if you go from London to Paris, how far is that? So I mean, that's part of it, and they also have better, deeper squads. I do see some rotations. Arsenal rotated against Sporting the other day in Europa. But yes. I mean, I get the point. There's a calculation to it, and it normally is done on the smaller tournaments. That this is true. That being said, we rotate, and I think we're going to rotate against Charlotte. Luckily, Charlotte has 0 points at the bottom of the table. So Charlotte is going to be another team we're going to see a rotation. I think this is going to be the, you know, hopefully.
So you'll see a rotate. So if we
– Charlotte's going to rotate.
Let me ask you this. If we lose to Tigres, right? You still see a rotation against Charlotte?
Some. I still see some. Not like you know, a crazy amount, but maybe some rotation. Yeah, maybe like, you know, Dor starts instead of someone else. Some kind of, something like that. Mauricio's been playing a lot. Maybe Mauricio sits for Dor or something like that, and to play a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more with two, like without a 10, so to speak, or I don't know, or without someone on the ball as much. I'm not sure. Did they seem to trust Wilder in that spot or Felipe when Mauricio's out more so? Thor is good at dribbling, but he doesn't seem to have that passing range. But, you know, he's not bad. He's good, different skill set. So I could see some of that, you know, but yeah, I'm a points matter. Like I've always said that points matter no matter when. Alex has always been harping on that. Points in the beginning count the same as points at the end. So
yeah.
It's a tough situation, but I do want to say so far of the new signings that we had, the best new signing I think is DDT. I'm glad that's picking up is Dagger Dan. Dagger Dan, DAWG, you are Dan, it's Cleon. You got that dog in him. And I think so far the most productive new signing has been Dagger Dan Thorason. Ain't that something? Who had that coming into the season, right?
Let's go real quickly here to back to the Twitter page here. Talant Coca Talant at Coca Talant says, "What's frustrating is that we have the players, but we are not clicking at all." And then we also have Corey Wolfgang says, "Did not like Faku's body language today. Seems like a guy who was ready to leave to Europe and didn't. Still think he can shake off his slow start." Mike,
you just gave me an opportunity to jump up onto a soapbox that if anyone who's followed me on Twitter for a while knows that I'm a huge part of, and that's the fact that you mentioned, you know, when we should start rotating, all the different competitions that we have, all of this. It just brings me back to my point that I've harped on for a while, is that this league, if they're going to keep adding competitions and things for our players to be doing, they need to expand the roster rules and salary cap. That just has to happen at some point, sooner rather than later. The fact that our league only allows you to have 20 first team players and 10 supplemental players, and our team in particular, granted, if we go in a perfect situation, we advance to the final in every competition that we're in, our team could play 60 fucking games this year. Like, 30 players over the course of 60 games is insane. That's wear and tear on bodies, and it's impossible for you to win every tournament if you only have that many players to work with. So that's just my little soapbox moment because of the fact that you started talking about all the competitions and when that rotation should come into play. I agree in the fact that, you know, league games and Champions League games, your best players should always be on the field 100%. I understand to a degree why they want to take it slow. And to Eddie's point, I really hope that we do not rotate too much against Charlotte, because I don't know if any of y'all watched Charlotte today or the last 2 weeks, but man, they are cheeks. They are ready to be clapped. They look like ass. So we definitely need to go out and get 3 points against Charlotte next weekend as well. That's it for me.
Very, very good point there.
Cheeks clapping an ass.
There you go. I'm good for something, right?
Yep. All right. Anybody else want to come on? Come on and give your thoughts. This is for you all. See, Alex, the swag. He hasn't said anything. I would love to hear him.
Hey, let me real quick, JJ. Look, this is my thing. Is with this whole like playing not to lose thing, man. Like, I was talking with Eddie about this earlier, like during the game, like. What, I don't see the point. Like, you're sitting there and we're like playing for it, and we do this. It's not even competition, bro, because this is what we do during the season too. It's like we'll get up one goal, and it's like, okay, we're just gonna play not to lose now, bro. Like, what's the point of like sitting there and going in and getting three games, and then you're going like three draws, bro? That's the same as getting your ass spanked for two games and then winning one. You still end up with 3 points. Like, what is the point of that, bro? Just to say, you say they didn't beat us? Like, you might as well just go all out and try to win these games. Like, these draws are nothing, bro. Like, it takes you three matches worth of draws to get 3 points. That's a waste. You can go all out and win one game out of three. It's the same thing. Just go out and try to play ball, bro. Like, we're here to play. Like, all we're doing is that you play to lose, play not to lose, play not to lose. And it's frustrating. And it's boring. On top of being frustrating, it's boring, bro. Like, I got people coming out to games. I saw people out to the first match of this season that I hadn't seen there in a while, bro. And then they're walking away at the end of the game. It's fucking 0-0. One goal. The next, they say, we're playing in the Champions League. They go check it out. 0-0. Like, you're not going to bring these people back like this, bro. You're not. Like, go out there and play, bro. People want to be entertained. Go out there and play. This one goal, playing not to get scored on, all this type of stuff. Like, what are you so scared of? What is the point? So it's frustrating.
Alex, swag, your thoughts, man.
Jeez. You guys are going a little hard over here in the den after dark. Goodness gracious. I'm happy. You guys are pissed off, and I'm happy. So I'm kind of a little confused. You know, listen, I see your point, Cleon. You know, everybody wants wins, and three draws equal a win. I get that. But I think we all can agree we've stolen 2 points the last two. And if we could every time we steal three, that'll feel like a win, and I'll take that. So it's a different feeling when you give up. You know, I know we were in the lead today, but, I mean, let's be honest. Pedro played out his mind. It could have easily been 3-1, 4-1. You know, we had maybe two good chances, you know. So we shouldn't have won. And then the same thing last weekend. You know, we shouldn't have tied, or we shouldn't have tied tonight. We shouldn't have tied then either. So I'm happy with 5 points out of the first three games. Somebody pointed, I don't know who it was, but I saw they pointed out that we literally got 0 points against these three teams last year. Not a single one. Played them like 8 times. 0 points. We got 5 in the first 3 times that we're playing them. When we're bunched up, 5 games, 15 days, of course there's going to be rotation. Of course we're going to move people around. Of course, you know, I'm surprised Faku's played so much. You know, I'll credit him. He looked dead tonight, but that's because he's played so darn much, and the travel kills you. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff going on. I'm surprised we didn't rotate even more today, but because we didn't, we got a draw, and I'm happy with that. And all points matter. I will say that over and over again. You just never know when we're going to be at the end of the season, and you know, one or two points are going to make the difference. And these could be the two that last year we would not have gotten. You know, we open up last year and we don't play defense and we go for attack. You know what happens? We lose 5-3 to DC. So we can either do that or we can get a hard fought draw 1-1 and be all right with it. You know, so I was happy we got to the goal. Duncan, you're right, Cleon. He has to be in that spot. He's got to be there. He's got to be at the right spot. He's got to be in front of that defender. He's got to outman him. He's got to box him out. He's got to get his foot on the ball. He's got to put it in the right spot. And I know the goal looks easy, but there's a lot that goes into it. And he did it all. He checked all the boxes, and he got his goal. First game, got a goal. It's, I mean, obviously looking pretty positive. You know, it's just going to gel even more. There was a few instances where it was clear that he wasn't in cohesion with some of the other guys, and a lot of that right now. I mean, I know we're pissed off about the offense looking like crap, but we're rotating so much, like we can't even get we can't even get that cohesion. We can't even build it because we're rotating so much because we've got so many games at the front load of the schedule. So four games, four results. I'm pumped about that. They may be draws, but I didn't expect the result at Tigres. I did not expect a result tonight at all, if we're being fair, on the road against, like, was said earlier, our bogey team. We're never good against DC. Wayne Rooney, hate that guy. I mean, I just absolutely despise the dude. And we got them. They got a goal. I bet it feels like a win to them, but for me, it's not a loss. So I'm pumped about it, and I'm happy with where we're at after four games, going into Tigres at home.
Biggest game
in the history of our club, maybe at home. Come on. I mean, we got to be happy. If we're negative about it, it's not going to lead to good things, you know. So I think we got to look at the positives tonight. Getting a draw is huge on the road. All of us, I think, did not expect that to happen, especially with all the rotation that we have. So thank you, Pedro. King Pedro.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for your thoughts and great points there, Alex. Great points on it. Eddie.
Yeah, real quick, I want to say two things. I mean, we all hate Wayne Rooney. I mean, any, you know, proper-blooded Orlando City fan should, no matter what your Premier League loyalties lie. But that Granny Shagger had that Yamil Assad. That guy, I mean, I don't know if I hate any player more than that guy's biggest diver wanker that is in the league. Oh,
I hate that guy so much.
No, I hate that guy. And he almost, I mean, he taking people out. He's awful. But that being, so that's one point. Second point is, look at us, guys. We're over here doing spaces, talking about, we know we got the playoffs, we're going to be second seed, not the fifth or sixth seed, etc. A couple years ago, the spaces would have sounded a little different. Now we're talking about climbing the table where we think we should be because we got a second and third place roster, and talking about CCL. So let's revel in that for a little bit. And nothing wrong with having high expectations and new expectations. You get a little bit, if you get a little bit, you want a little more. If you don't know that theory, read the book. If you give a mouse a cookie, it's a good children's book. Learn that concept. So right, I want that whole cookie. I want to win all the trophies and get as high as possible. But at the same time, we're talking from a more positive place. Despite the rotation and the gelling, we've gotten points from every match. We're not allowing goals. Pedro keeps in his form. We're not going to allow a lot of goals all year. Carlos is going to come back too. I think it's going to help. And the better we get offensively, the better it's going to help the defense too, because we'll have the ball more and it'll change the game state when the other team's coming out more because they're down a goal. It changes the game state and it'll change the way we look too. So, you know, just wanted to bring that
up. And I just want to make a joke based off of what you said, because if Orlando City Twitter had us doing spaces in the summer of 2018, I think all of us would have deleted the platform a long fucking time ago.
Bro, yeah, that was dark times right there, Alex. I'll never forget Alex B saying, "We, what was it? We got 3 points from 39. Here we are at 11 o'clock, recording a podcast." Is like our wise mistake. We're somewhere else. But no, we're just sitting here at the back of a bar with some old guy watching 1980s movies with no sound on next to us, falling asleep. Talking about, you know, nine straight losses. So, you know.
All right, let's go back to the Twitter. Let's go back to the Twitter board real quick. Over here, Jimmy D says, I'm afraid we don't have I think Faku is starting to realize this style of play does not reflect well on him and hinders his ceiling. We won't excel if we keep this style. Lewis moves at moves post says thought Thor was class today, though. Definitely the man of the match. Goal we conceded was a worldie, but a goal against was coming. And then our guy Alex, the swag, happy with the draw. Onward to Tigres. Another beautiful point. Last year we got zero all season versus Cincy, Red Bulls, and DC. 5 points in a draw at Tigres is a great start to the season. Yes, it is. Eric, look at LAFC. They went to Costa Rica with the full-strength squad, smoked them, and then we'll put out the full-strength squad in league play. And then at Shy City Lewis, I'm watching Tigres play right now against America, and they did not change their lineup at all. So for Orlando to keep doing rotations is acceptable. And then Mike responded back, looks like Tigres actually has 5 starters rotated to the bench from our game at week. Quiñones, Carioca, Ivanez, Aquino, and Lichnowsky all did not start against us. Let's go to David Valentine. David, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, JJ. I just want to say real quick, the nickname DDT for Thor House, and it's awesome. I think I'm going to start using that for now on DDT. That sounds awesome. The other thing, Jamil Assad, biggest piece of trash on earth. I will fight that guy. I mean, he's just a dirty, dirty, dirty player. And I remember him faking getting hit on the head and having a PC send off. After that, man, I just at Atlanta, I hated him even more. But real quick, I want to be devil's advocate for a minute. I mean, I have known 90% of the people on this space for 8 years. I think here the people are, everybody's a diehard, very smart people that understand the game of football, that understand this game, this team in and out, and all the assessment has been spot on, because I know the people that are saying it. But the problem to me is if we're gonna be playing boring football, where we're going to be scoring one goal a game, or we're going to end up 0-0, how are we going to feel Exploria back? Because the excitement of the game is what brings the fans. And I have mentioned this before, how both of my overseas teams had issues. They made management changes, and they are now at the top of their individual tables. And again, I'm not advocating for, like, let's kick, you know, Oscar Pareja out or anything. But the common denominator since 2020 has been the manager, and we continue to play the same. So at what point is enough? Because, like I said, Papi's specials are unsustainable, and we see this over and over and over and over. You know, and if we get eliminated from CCL and we have a Papi special, or we tie again with a Charlotte that is total garbage, what are the fans going to say? Because the fact of the matter, my friends, is that this is entertainment. And, you know, I personally, you know, I don't care. You know, I go, I see everybody, I shake hands, I have my traditional hot dog and my drink, and then I go home. But that's not everybody. And the fact that we have to beg people to come to the games is a byproduct of that. Orlando is not a great sports town, but they love to root for a winner. And winners win games. And losers makes excuses. And I finish with this. This football is a cruel and unpredictable game. And we saw that tonight. We have to score goals. The reason why people went to the stadium in the USL era to see a bunch of nobodies is because this team scored tons of goals. I was there. I remember. And those 3,000 people that used to show up to those games are going to be showing up to these games in MLS. But the fact is that a lot of people are going to get tired of that. And now that to watch the games, you have to pay for a subscription. I'm sorry. You know, we're going to lose people. And we have to start telling ourselves that maybe it's time to think of an exit strategy come summertime if we're not winning games because of Oscar Pareja. I mean, that's fact.
All righty. Thank you for your thoughts there, David. Let's go to Danny Phillips. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, fellas. I agree with a lot of what's being said, and I think David makes a great point. I'm a season ticket holder. I bring a lot of friends. And, you know, if they watch a nil-nil draw or a 1-1 draw, it's almost less exciting than, you know, honestly, when we lost 5-3 against DC on the 4th of July last year, because at least a casual fan goes, well, you know, that was exciting, right? But enough about that. On the subject of being positive, I'm really proud of the guys. I think that they've shown that they can pass out of pressure really well, like great triangles, great ball movement under pressure, which we struggled a little bit with last year. It's kind of one of the things the Red Bulls took us apart with. But then when we pull forward into the attacking third, those passing triangles seem to break down. I like Ojeda's connection with DDT. I think those two are building a little chemistry there. And I also think Martin Ojeda is a couple steps ahead. He had that heel flick. I can't remember who he sent up the right side with that heel flick, but that was a thing of beauty. He's made a few moves and he's put a few balls that were, you know, if the rest of the team was sort of ready for it, I think they could have materialized it into some great attacking opportunities. And kind of my last thought is this, is if you look at our passing percentages, we did not pass as well this game. I think we were at like 70%. Or 77% completed. And last year, you know, we're used to that being higher in the mid to low 80s. And so there was a few kind of medium range passes that either got intercepted because they were a little too soft, they weren't weighted right, or they were overhit. And I think if we can start connecting on some of those kind of medium distance passes, it will begin to break into the final third a little bit more. So those are my thoughts.
Thanks for your thoughts there, Danny. Let's go back to the Twitter board. We got a couple of Jimmy D. Moosey did promise us this season exciting attacking soccer. What happened? Let's see here. Let's see what we got. What else? Does anybody know why Felipe Martinez doesn't play? Not that he's the answer or anything, but what's up with that? He did come in for, I think, 30 seconds against Tigres. No, he's just a locker room guy. We talked about this last time. He's just a guy that got signed. He lives in Orlando and basically is more like a locker room guy, that veteran presence. And
yeah, vet, mentor, whatever.
Yep. Eric, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, hey, guys. And let me say, as I start off, what I'm about to say is, again, I'm not Poppy out, but Tactical Manager on Twitter just tweeted this out. Orlando City so far in 2023, 4 matches, 3 draws, and 1 win. One of the goals scored was off an iffy penalty kick. World-class soccer terrorism. And then he's put Orlandibon City. So apart from, you know, the kind of suggestive names that he put with us, this is what MLS sees us as. And I think our big question this year specifically is, who are we going to be? Because I see Alex's point in that, you know, we're facing teams that we struggled against historically and MLS against, and we're getting results. Cincinnati beat a really good Seattle team tonight, I think 1-0. And so, you know, we got results against them that we did not get last year. But Poppy has not had his team, his pick of players, until I would say this year. And so I think this is the year that we kind of say, who's Orlando City going to be? He's got the money, he's got the ownership, he's got the backing, but can Poppy deliver what one of the other listeners said, Moosey said we wanted to do? I mean, we poured so much money into our attack. And so I think that's the question that it may take time, maybe half the season, to decide, you know, because we're all on here tonight saying, what the heck is going on with our attack? We poured so much money on. And I think this is the season where we say, is Poppy really the guy? And I think he's really taking us to a next level of legitimacy with the club. But listen, you got to score to win. Defense wins championships, but you're not going to get to the place to win a championship if you can't put the ball in the back of the net. And that's what we're facing right now. So it's an interesting dilemma that we find ourselves in. And, you know, I hope we pull it out. I think Poppy's a great guy for Orlando, but can get the offensive side to roll. And I'll take my thumb off of the pod.
All right. Thanks, Eric. We all love Poppy. This sport is big, the biggest sport around the world, as everybody knows. And to be entertained, we need goals. To get people in the stadium, we need goals. We know that. I mean, and that's the thing. You look at football. Why are football stadiums packed? Because it's great atmosphere. There's people have fun. They're scoring. Basketball, they're scoring. And with soccer, when there's a 0-0, every week it's a 0-0 or 0-1 or 1-0. It's not going to – the average fan or the fan that you're trying to get into the seats are going to be like, this is boring. I'd rather go to an Orlando Magic game and see them lose, but at least, you know, I get to see, you know, points being scored and dunks and things like that. So, definitely, we do need to score more, and I think and that's a big thing. Poppy's known for his defensive Poppy specials, and but, I mean, every year it seems like, oh, we're going to have some scoring. We're going to have some scoring. And, you know, we don't. We've gotten into four games. And a PK was one. This one was Duncan, two goals. So, I don't know. We're going to have to see. Eddie, Cleon, any final thoughts?
Yeah. I don't know. My thing with the because a lot of people be like, oh, guys, I'm being impatient, this, that, whatever. Even if you ignore, like, this isn't a new thing. I don't know why people do this every year. This isn't a new thing. When people complain about the scoring, the way we play, this is not new. It's not, no, this is not a four-game problem. This is something that's been going on for seasons at this point. The car thing, people act like that was a one-game thing. No, last year, too. This is an ongoing thing. And people's like, oh, it's only the first game. It's only the second game. That's why we can't score. Bro, it's everyone's first and second and third and fourth game. Everyone else is putting up goals. Like, I don't understand. Like I don't know why, like, people act like we're the only ones that have these situations and these things going on. We're not the only team in CCL. You know what I mean? Everyone else is just going with it, and they're playing. Like, it's frustrating because it's we should be better, and we should not be okay with oh, it's we getting a point at DC. It's DC, bro. They're ass. They're terrible. That's a terrible club. Like, we should pat ourselves on the back because it's because we ever get a draw at DC and we didn't beat them last year or whatever the case. Bro, it's DC. They've been asked for years. Like, we shouldn't be. If we're supposed to be talking about we're an elite team and we got an elite roster and this, that, or whatever, show me patting yourself on the back because you can pull out a point at DCOA. Like, that should be expected. You know what I mean? St. Louis, they're brand new, bro. They're putting up three goals a game. Like, what the hell? Yeah, half of them's getting passed to them, but. But other than that, like, we're not the only ones in these situations. We're not the only team in CCL. We're not the only team that's got to travel. We're not the only team. We're not the only team that's playing multiple games a week. We're not the only team that's early in the season. Everyone is. So it's like, I don't know at what point people want to stop making excuses for things.
Good point there, Cleon. Very good point. On that, you know, you're right. Every year, you know, it seems like, oh, let's give us time. Well, when is time going to run out? I mean, 3 years, I think, is plenty of time. 4 years is plenty of time. Eddie, what do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, look, as a fan base, it was so bad for so long that we're taking just being the sixth seed and stuff. And the Open Cup was great, not taking that away. We were taking that as, okay, you know, we have a fear that it can be worse, but it can be better too. So let's have high expectations. Let's say it's okay to be a little demanding and ask yourself, you know, do we have the roster to get to the next level? And most of us think we do. And then ask yourselves, why aren't we there? And just be honest. And that's just the nature. When you get to a different level, you sometimes, you know, there's times in everyone's life and seasons, as they say. And that's just something I'm going to be watching out for the year. But right now we're in a better place than we were in the past. But I still want more. And hopefully that starts Wednesday. But win against Tigres, you know, remember we were kind of, you know, slow on offense for a bit, and then we had the Red Bulls and we couldn't beat them, and then we just came out and spanked them, looked new, and we're like, whoa, who is this? What is his goals and offense and what's going on? I would love something like that to happen against Tigres. That'll be amazing. And yeah, so that's it. See you guys Wednesday.
I'm out. All right. Sounds good. See everybody Wednesday. Make sure you get your tickets if you don't have your tickets for Exploria Stadium on Wednesday against Tigres in the Champions League. Make sure you go get them. Plenty of tickets still available, a handful. So just call Exploria Stadium, call Ticketmaster, whatever you need to do. Get your tickets. I know there's a couple of handfuls still left. We're looking at probably 1,000 from what I've understood from Luis Muzzi, that 1,000 were sold for Tigre fans. So I know there's a lot of Tigre fans in Central Florida. They're going to be packing the stadium singing. So we need all of our Orlando City fans to pack that stadium and out cheer the Tigre fans. So 1-1 tie in D.C. tonight. Goal by Duncan, because Orlando runs on Duncan, and then Durkin scores actually a very nice goal for DC United, ties it up 1-1. Thank you all. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all social media platforms. Also, we're always on podcast. Check us out, iHeart, Apple, everywhere that you can hear podcasts. We are on. This goes on to the podcast also. So good night. Vamos Orlando. Till next time. Vamos Orlando.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.